Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And my name is Nolan.
And this is episode 98, and once again, you guys are sharing a microphone.
Yeah, we are.
I can't get rid of this guy. He's always at my house.
Kenny, you're making a big move across the country.
Yep, I am, and have not got internet set up at my new place or a computer to record on or any of the amenities of life, and so I'm mooching, and Nolan's putting up with me this morning.
At least the hurricane is welcoming you in.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of Hurricane Janet. What's the hurricane's
called? Yeah, definitely.
Harvey, Henry?
Yeah, Harvey. We're getting some rain from Harvey, so
Is it Harvey? I think it's Harvey. Yeah, I don't know, but there's hurricanes in Texas, and that's weird.
Earlier this week, I sent you both a link to the news that Assassin's Creed is crossing over with Final Fantasy. Neither of you responded back to me, so I thought, let's just do it live. And so, according to the Ubisoft blog this week, the collaboration kicks off on August 30th, where Final Fantasy XV players will be gifted a very familiar assassin outfit for the main character Noctis. August 31st, the day after, will be the release of the Free Assassin's Festival DLC for Final Fantasy XV, with themed items and features, including an outfit from Assassin's Creed, along with the abilities that enable Noctis to explore more like an assassin and even use some of the assassin's more well-known abilities. So give me your quick thoughts on that, and then I have a follow-up question.
When you first said that they were doing like crossover stuff, I thought that's the worst idea ever. When you explained how they were doing it, I thought, oh, okay, it's just a bad idea, not the worst thing ever.
I kind of feel the same way. I don't know. So Dustin, you are a fan of both of those series, so that's probably pretty cool for you, but it's so weird. Like, why? That's a strange crossover. So I think it's weird.
It is weird, I agree, but, and you mentioned it, Final Fantasy and Assassin's Creed are two of my favorite franchises, right? But in the trailers and the things that they've released, it doesn't look the most appetizing. We'll have to see. I mean, I love both, so I'll definitely try to play that if I'm able to. But I wanted to use that just to launch into a brief discussion. What is a video game crossover that has not happened yet that you would love to see happen someday? You know, if I would have been asked this a couple weeks ago, I may have said Final Fantasy and Assassin's Creed. and so that's what's coming up. What about for you guys? What are two video games that you thought, if they were to merge together, at least for one game, you would love to play that?
Okay, does it count if it's the same studio and like developers, but a different series?
What do you think, Kenny? Maybe, yeah? Two games?
Sure, yeah, they're separate games.
Then I think with all the recent Portal talk, I would love to see a Half-Life and a Portal crossover. That would be really cool, since it is the same world, but different plot lines. Is that a cop-out? I think it'd be cool.
No, I think it's almost the obvious answer. I was kind of thinking the same thing. It's not as much a like world crossover, because you're already in the same world, but you certainly have very different video games, and putting elements of them into each other would I think be kind of cool.
So you're going with the same answer, Kenny?
Oh, no, I'm trying to think about my answer and buy in time. Tell me yours, Dustin, while I think, because this is a stumper for me, I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, mine is kind of was already set up, Final Fantasy and Assassin's Creed. I would love.
Kenny, you would probably really like a Civilization and Call of Duty crossover.
Call of Duty is definitely your game, Kenny.
Call of Duty. I don't think I've ever played a whole game of Call of Duty in my entire life. It definitely wouldn't be a first-person shooter. I don't know. Maybe you cross over just two things I like, but that have nothing to do with each other. This is hard for me. How about Jurassic Park and Dr. Mario?
Thank you for being you, Kenny. When two diverse things come together, it can be a beautiful thing. But is that the case when a blue anthropomorphic hedgehog and an 8-year-old fox with two tails comes together for the very first time in one game? Join us as we find out the answer to that question and so much more as we talk about the retro game of the week, Sonic Chaos.
Overview.
How'd you know Tails was 8 years old?
A little bit of research.
Also, props on dropping anthropomorphic. I think our average length of syllables per word just got skewed higher.
Amalgamation.
So Sonic Chaos is a game that was released for the Master System and the Game Gear. It was developed by Aspect and published by Sony and came out in the early 90s.
What was the laugh?
Nolan's laughing at me, and I don't know why.
You said Sony.
Not Sony. Yeah, you did say Sony.
Oh, I said Sony and not Sega.
Start a word.
It's the same number of words, letters in the words.
Kenny knows his stuff. He's like, Sonic Chaos came out on the Nintendo, produced by Sony, and...
Sonic Chaos is a video game developed by Aspect and published by Sega, both for the Master System and the Game Gear. So it had a portable option. It came out in the early 90s and is a platforming game that is exactly what you'd expect out of a Sonic game. Thankfully, I say thankfully just because I'm a fan, this is the first game where you get to control and play Tails fully, where he is included as a playable character completely through, where you have the ability to control him and use him, and is kind of just one more game in the Sonic series. It came out later, and so some of the 16-bit versions of Sonic that people are familiar with and are popular had already dropped. And then they came back and put this out on Master System and Game Gear and you know, is an 8-bit version of the game. And so it kind of took some steps forward and some steps back, but that's the game we're going to be talking about this week.
Are you sad that Big the Cat was not a playable character?
No.
I'm a little sad, yeah. I don't think he was a thing yet.
I mean, I know, but... I know that that's Kenny's favorite character in the Sonic
universe.
You guys
give me such a hard time about Big, but Tails is where it's at, and...
I know that you... I knew that you had an affection for Tails, and I appreciate that, because I think... A lot of people think Tails is somewhat annoying, right? Nolan, you would know
more.
Yeah,
a lot of people think Mr. Prower is female and annoying, but I never got that. I don't know where that meme came from.
Yeah, no, I think he's always been a solid sidekick and a friendly character, and this is the first one, as Kenny, I think you mentioned, but that Tails is a playable character, which makes it a lot of fun, and in my opinion, and we'll talk about it in gameplay, really changes up your gameplay style, because Tails functions a lot differently than Sonic.
Yeah, they really do. They almost use the dual characters as kind of like different versions of the game, because they end up playing fairly differently from each other. Not completely differently, but there's some really important distinctions there that really end up making it like two modes to the game rather than two characters that you get to play that are just different flavors.
Kenny, did you catch any of the story? I mean, it's very story light, but did you catch any of that at the beginning of the game?
It's way story light. It's pretty much, I mean, you get the whole collecting crystals thing in a couple of the other Sonic titles as well, and it's that normal, you know, classic enemy of Sonic, Dr. Robotnik, and he steals Chaos Emeralds, and you got to go recover them. Pretty standard fare for this kind of game.
Super simple, super straightforward.
Also depends on the version. The gameplay of the two are pretty similar, but there's like a really slight plot difference. I think in the Mega Drive or the Master System, he steals like one Chaos Emerald, like the red Chaos Emerald specifically, to make like laser weapons or something. Either way, like the island ends up sinking or starting to sink that you're on, because the Chaos Emeralds are out of balance, and so you have to get them. That's the plot.
And you said pretty light. It's really light. No, most people wouldn't even know that. They know you need to collect the Chaos Emeralds, because you do, but that's just because that's Sonic. Like, unless you sit and watch the whole like opening gameplay sequence, and as soon as that comes on, everybody wants to get into platforming, and you're just spamming start and then running around to Sonic. You're not waiting to watch that stuff in this type of game, I don't think.
Gameplay.
So, gameplay of Sonic Chaos is not as similar as like Sonic 1 and some of the others that I thought it would be. I mean,
wait, you do not think it's similar?
No, and
interesting.
In principle, it is. Like, if you're looking at it, it's like, okay, it's a Sonic game. I'm not sure which Sonic game I'm looking at. If you're a fan of Sonic or have played the other ones and you sit down with this one for a while, you kind of, it feels slower. Did y'all get that from that? Because you're not super, I know you're not huge Sonic fans, and we've played Sonic 1 on the podcast, but did you feel like it was just another Sonic game?
In a lot of ways, it felt just like another Sonic game to me, but I didn't get that like frantic pace that you get in a lot of them, where it's almost like you're just on the edge of being out of control, and he's running so fast and things are happening so fast, you've got to almost know these levels and your routes beforehand. It felt more like kind of a typical platformer to me in some ways, especially because I spent a lot of my time playing Tails, who is actually a little bit slower even than Sonic as a character in this game. And when it's already slower gameplay pace, it just didn't quite have that frenzy that I think of in a lot of the Sonic games.
I can see some of what you guys are saying, but When I booted this up, and so I did a first play this week. It's up on our YouTube if you want to check that out, and you can see really my first experience with the game. But you'll notice in that video that I like a lot of it was just stereotypical Sonic to me, from the structure, you know, with the three acts and the final act containing a boss battle, to even the stage designs and the everything about it. And then on top of that, Nolan, you said they even felt slower or something like that. I read the aspect, because they had experience with Sonic at this point, they made Sonic and Tails move twice as quickly as they had in Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
So then maybe what I'm feeling is a performance issue on the console. I really think that had a play in this. So I played the Master System version this week, because I had this game, or at least something, on the Game Gear. I had a Sonic game on the Game Gear, and I thought it was great. And so I wanted to just check out what the console version was all about, which I believe Jan from Discord clarified that it only came out in Europe, so no, we wouldn't have played it. But I think it just felt laggy, like the console did.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a hardware issue or what, but I certainly just... And the things, Dustin, you were pointing out, I agree, it totally feels Sonic from those design kind of elements. The levels look totally Sonic. The way they lay out the things you're doing, the fact that you are, in fact, Sonic. I don't know, the music. Like, a lot of the stuff definitely seems like classic Sonic to me. But the actual just... like manual gameplay, like, I don't know, just the feel of it, the tone of it as you play was just a little different to me. I don't know. I don't even know how to put my thumb on it.
What it sounds like is that y'all feel like it's missing something, that there's some link that's broken or something that's not necessarily making it a bad game, but that kind of diverges what they're trying to do from the classic Sonic games before. So 1 and 2 had come out, by the way. Those are the games that had come out before this one. I think this is the third one, and I might be a little bit off there, but and it's not Sonic 3, it's Sonic Chaos. But and so I don't know if it was they were trying to take what worked in 1 and 2 and were trying to diverge a little bit, or if... I don't know. Here's what we're going to what I'm going to probably talk about a few times throughout our conversation. I don't know what they were trying to do here, because they were successful with 1 and 2, and there was a huge fan base with that, and then they came out with Sonic Chaos, and yeah, it is different in some ways, but it's comparable in a lot of others. But there's just something that's off that just causes me to question, once again, what were they trying to do with this game? What was the purpose of this game?
Yeah, I get that for sure. It just kind of felt like almost, yeah, kind of pointless. Like, it's not Sonic 3. That game's amazing. It's not like, it's based off Sonic 2. Like, apparently that's what they were kind of trying, that's what they were going for. But I think the main point here, they were trying to be like, let's make Tails a playable character instead of just following Sonic around. And I think that was the goal. And like, while they maybe succeeded in just making that happen, I think that's the only thing they made happen. Like, I think some of the other gameplay elements that I was used to and comfortable with Sonic were a little lacking. Like, it was just bare minimum for me. And it's really hard for me to put into words. Like, I looked at some Sonic 1, Sonic 2 gameplay after playing this game this week just to see if I can, like, see any difference or if it was just all feel. And the sound design was better, too. Like, the music was better to me and the sound design. And there were more enemies. It just felt very basic. And you could also play as Tails, you know?
Yeah, I can't put my finger exactly on what it is either. There's lots of elements that really just look and play the same. But, yeah, it just... There's something about it that feels uniquely different as you play it.
Let's talk about one of those things that is the most unique in this game, and that is the length of the stage, right?
Yep. Yeah, they're pretty short.
In Sonic games, you're going fast, but the stages have some length to it and have some depth to it as well, so that you're doing different things, going different places to get to the end of the stage. In this game, I promise you that it would not surprise me if the average length of stage from left to right is around the 30 to 45 second mark.
You'd be right. I when watching your first play, I was like, these are short. Like, I don't know, again, if that was a limitation of the Game Gear, like if they had to, in order to have it on a portable console, if they were like, hey, we've got to cut back on the levels and we just need more memory or what, but like, yeah, and if you are going to go for those Chaos Emeralds in the special stages, you're going to miss the level that's not even there. Like, when you beat that special stage, you're done. So, like, there's a lot less gameplay than a classic Sonic.
And let me just interject here, Kenny, before you might say anything, what Nolan, you just said, because if they're not familiar with the game, they might not understand. I believe on most stages, if you collect 100 rings, which is a common theme in Sonic, then you're instantly transported to this secret stage, this bonus stage, and after you go through the stage, you collect a Chaos Emerald, and then it concludes that stage that you were previously on and just takes you to the next one. So,
right. So you're kind of teleported to the end of the stage that you were working on when you get warped into the secret level. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, like you don't even finish the 30-second stage.
And that's even assuming that you're going into secret levels at all. One of the notable differences between Sonic and Tails in this game that was a really wonky design choice is that Tails doesn't play the secret levels. Mm-hmm. He really, and I saw somebody online describe him as just like an easy mode version of the game. And I kind of set up, you know, he really is almost like a different version of playing the game because the character is slower. You can get to some of the like secret stuff a little more easily because you can actually control your flight for the first time, whereas Sonic has to like figure out how to navigate to those places on the map. He has more lives and continues, but he doesn't get to do all the secret stages. And so it's literally just like a handheld version of the game, which is kind of too bad because it furthers sort of the bad rap that Tails gets, I think, and I don't like it.
And it's also a shame because the bonus stages in this game are actually pretty good. And maybe if you look at them on the surface level, they don't seem that way. But if you've played Sonic games, they're kind of notorious for having some pretty uninteresting bonus levels, mainly that pinball. Like, they're just not that great. And this one, each bonus stage is unique, looks different, and has a different like kind of gimmick slash like puzzle solving aspect to it that I actually was pretty impressed with considering all the other things we've discussed so far.
In most Sonic games, you have these power-ups that are contained in what, TVs, computers, boxes?
Yeah, monitors.
Yeah, they're monitors of some sort.
And once you break them, you get the power-up. There were a few new ones in here that I was not familiar with, and I don't think were in Sonic or Sonic 2. So one of those are these speed shoes that instantly turn your shoes into rockets that shoot you off towards the left or right, a horizontal direction. in which I found that you have very little control over. Let me just go to the next one before we talk about that, because the spring shoes that you jump on a spring and then you continually bounce higher than you would normally be able to jump, also you have little control of, and anytime you hit an enemy or if you hit a wall, then you lose the shoes or the power up immediately. So between those rocket shoes and the spring shoes as being these new type of power ups, I felt like they were kind of just lackluster and just aren't as cool as some of the other power-ups in some of the other Sonic games.
I loved the spring thing that you could grab, and I think you're talking about... That one didn't come out of a monitor, right? That was just sitting there as a spring, and then you grabbed it and would bounce around. It was still a power-up, but
still
that one
up,
was
yeah.
really fun to me. Once again, my man Tails got gypped. The rocket boots that you fly around, Sonic only. And so, I played enough of... as him to kind of figure out those differences, but I felt robbed because you're right. It was poorly implemented, even if it was sort of fun, but you didn't get to do it if you were playing Tails.
To be fair, Tails can fly for short distances.
Yeah, I think they're trying to implement some level of balance there, because I think Tails being in the game confused them after they developed it, because it was like, wait, Tails is really overpowered. Now we need to limit a couple things. Because like, if I'm thinking of some of those bonus stages, being able to fly, it's like, oh, well, that's way too easy. I just want to say I'm not a fan of the space Nikes the rocket shoes that you fly. I hate those because, yeah, Dustin, I couldn't control those at all. And they're often they were pointless. And on the actual cover of this game, Sonic is using the spring boots, which I think is a really cool idea, but I only saw it a couple times in gameplay in the whole game because it's a short game. So I'd like to see more of that, but outside of those Sonic Chaos specific ones, you've got your same old Sonic power-ups. There's some that give you 10 extra rings, the invincibility one, and extra life one. So yeah, all those classics are still there too.
Because of their differences, the differences between Sonic and Tails, I think in part, and I don't know if they were trying to do this, but it's what they accomplished, Tails is an easy mode of this game, and Sonic is your more difficult mode.
Yeah, absolutely. It's too bad because you also lose content when you're playing the easy mode, quote unquote. And so,
well, yeah, and you can't quote unquote beat the game if you're playing with Tails, because sure, you can get to the end, but you can't collect the Chaos Crystals, which is kind of the point of this game.
Yeah, you still beat it, but don't have to even do those challenges. I mean, they're not even really challenges so much as bonus content. I don't know. It was just a weird... Everything that they did, including the playable Tails, which I love as an idea, but how they implemented him and even level design things that look almost like a normal Sonic game, everything just didn't feel quite like what I was expecting.
Aged.
All right, so if I'm considering the age of any Sonic game, I'm thinking about, one, how it looks, and they're all very similar in look, which I'm a huge fan of. Very colorful, very Sega. and so that's there for me. And Kenny, you mentioned level design, and that's something that I was a little upset with. I'm usually a really big fan of Sonic level design because they make the stages, the zones, like speedrunnable, if I can say that. Like, you're meant to go fast, right? It's Sonic. And so that's a big component of Sonic gameplay. And because the levels, one, were so short, you really couldn't approach this Sonic game in that way, in that let's go as fast as we can way.
Yeah, and even the gameplay of the levels didn't feel as diverse in this one from like world to world as it has in some of the other ones. And so I thought they nailed the look of their levels in terms of level design visually, but I feel like they lacked the creativity and the continuity and the purpose and sort of big picture. Like it almost felt like this game just didn't have a director, or that the director was somebody who had played a Sonic game but never made one, or I don't know. The whole thing just felt sort of derivative. I don't know, and level design included.
That being said, I think there are some things that do hold up well. Like this is, I think this is where some of Sonic Chaos should be applauded for, in that for being on the Master System, which you don't hear about much, and Absolutely. Even a few times in this episode, we almost called it the Mega Drive because that's the more familiar Sony system.
Yeah.
The more familiar Sega system. I think the graphics hold up really well. These 8-bit sprites and the backgrounds were still better than anything else Nintendo was putting out at the time, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And they were putting it out for Master System and Game Gear, and that's obviously going to be also hardware limited. You know, when you've got a handheld from that era, you're just not going to be able to do as much. But that is a different issue to me than design kinds of choices. You can Yes. still be creative in like the level design and in its feel. And so I get some of those limitations. And I do think that we have to remember that when we're talking about game length and the graphics and even the speed of things. This was early 90s and was going on a handheld device, and they had to be realistic. But I think that that came at a cost, or I don't know. It's really hard to put your finger on it. You just have to kind of play a number of Sonic games side by side and let the differences in this one speak for themselves.
I will applaud it for those special stages again. I think them branching out and being like, let's make each one unique was a smart choice that I wish would have been implemented across the series a little more. And there weren't perfect stages. They're very simple, but still, it was appreciated. Something else that I was looking for but did not get, and this is a big one for me, but the OST for this game is just lacking in comparison to the other Sonics. Like, and it's probably due to the system. Like, Game Gear wasn't able to.
I'm with you though. It can have good quality music even on those systems.
Sure. Yeah. Like something, and it just like this. It wasn't so much like, oh, this sounds bad, like because this is Game Gear. It's like this isn't quite Sonic style.
Exactly.
Like, there's a little, like, because here's why I'm basing what I'm basing this opinion off of. When I boot up Sonic 1 and I go to Green Hill Zone and I hear that, that's like my life is made. That's why that game is beautiful.
Wow.
I love soundtrack.
I agree with you. It's not that these songs and these tracks are bad. They're not bad. They're just unremarkable. And
yeah.
Sonic games have historically quality tracks. And I feel like some of the other tracks off more well-known Sonic titles stand out a whole lot more than those in Chaos. In fact, the Chaos ones aren't bad. It's just I don't remember any of them now.
Exactly. They're not bad. When you're playing them, they feel fine. They sort of match the level that you're doing. They were okay. They just lack that like perfect charm and energy and feel that you get from all the other Sonic games. And it's not just because we've played those more. It really isn't. It's just because every aspect of this game just feels uniquely different. And I don't even know if it's in a bad way, but when you're expecting something that is very classic and that does resonate with you, and you get something that looks like it but then feels just a little different, it's like being in a relationship and the person you care about is just having a really bad day, but they can't tell you why, and they're in a weird mood, and you're like, what's up with you? Like, something is off, but I can't tell what it is. Like Sonic Chaos is the moody girlfriend of the early Sonic games. It's just not quite the same, and it bothers me.
Great analogy, Kenny.
If we are looking to present day for the series, Sonic takes quite a tragic turn when they enter the 3D world that everyone else was entering at the time. Mario had Mario 64, which is a masterpiece. They nailed it. Sonic goes into the Adventure series, which were not, some of them were okay, and then you started to get into territory where it was like, what are they doing? Like, these animations are terrible, this voice acting is terrible, really just unjust games being made. But fast forward to 2017, and finally we're getting back to the roots, which is Sonic Mania, and it's amazing. So I cannot wait to play it. And but yeah, Sonic's always been a very loved series, very famous character, and I'll always be a fan.
And if you are interested now in playing Sonic Chaos, it's easy to play today. You can play it in browser on many different websites very easily, or via the Virtual Console, which was made available to those with a Wii in 2009.
The final Shell Shock.
So do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status? Simple thumbs up or thumbs down for this game should our viewers find a copy of it and play, or reserve their game time for other retro games. It does require a majority vote from the three of us to swing one way or the other. In my opinion, it is not a terrible game, but Sega has already, at this point in time, released two superior Sonic games in Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2. So why take a step back a few years later with Sonic Chaos? That it's what I said at the beginning. I just don't know what they were trying to accomplish here. If it was only a handheld game, I might have a different opinion, because that's a different kind of reflection and a different kind of reasoning and a different kind of viewing and understanding of a game. But it came out on the Master System. It should have been better. It should have been more remarkable. It should have been more memorable, and it just wasn't those things. So I do not give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
Since this is only available, or at the time was only available in US on handheld, I will treat it as such. I think you should play the game. I would never not give a Sonic game my vote for New Game Plus. I take that back, if we're talking about 2D Sonics. So I think that the game implements a couple of unique things that aren't really present in the rest of the series, and it's worth checking out. And also, I recommend it because it's such a short game. We bashed it for having such short levels, which I didn't really care for, but it would be totally accessible to someone who's not about to sit there and go through a really long and confusing stage. So you should play the game. It's Sonic, and everybody loves Sonic, and they should love Sonic. Kenny, what do you think?
Hold on, everybody loves Sonic? Give me a break.
Yeah, not everybody loves Sonic, but we know you do, Nolan, so we'll let you get away with it. Some people like other characters more than Sonic, and I'm a fan of Tails, and they threw him in this game, and that's awesome, and it's hyped. But then they gypped him and didn't let him run as fast, and even though you got to control his flight, didn't give you bonus levels. And it's not just because I'm bitter about those choices, but because the tone of this game, as much as it is a Sonic 2D game, just felt so not quite there in terms of the pace and the frantic, fun, chaotic nature of a Sonic game, that it felt almost like a just different platformer with a Sonic skin. And so not because it's a bad game, but because it doesn't feel like classic Sonic to me, and if you're playing Sonic, that's what you ought to get, I don't think this game lived up to what it was trying to do. And so I'm going to say, not for Sonic in general, but specifically for this game, no New Game Plus for me.
Hang on. What, did we give New Game Plus for Sonic 1?
For sure, right?
I am checking right now. Yes. Okay, continue.
Nolan was going to be really bitter if all of the Sonic games we played hadn't gotten New Game Plus. No, I'm glad that that Sonic the Hedgehog, the classic one, and if we played two, I would guess we'd probably come to the same conclusion. We'll see if that ever happens. But this one, again, felt different. So I'm comfortable with this one not, and with that one getting it. Because they just feel different. It's so hard to put my thumb on why.
We didn't have much commentary from viewers this week. People just didn't want to play it or didn't care about it. But Michael did write in and said, I loved my Master System when I was a kid. Seeing beautiful graphics like that on an 8-bit system will always make me wonder why Sega lost the 8-bit race in the US. Oh yeah, Nintendo created a monopoly by strong-arming developers like they were bleeping Yakuza. Never mind, answered my own question. Sonic Chaos, on the other hand, meh.
Is that why? I mean, Nintendo was definitely dominating, but I think the Genesis held its own for sure.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, in fairness, his email was specifically talking like 8-bit system. And so Genesis was that jump to 16. So that was like as if we were competing against Super Nintendo. And yeah, Nintendo did a lot of, in retrospect, quasi-shady things to really get in there and just be awesome. But there were some really awesome games on it, so I'm not even going to worry too much. Like, it's America. American things happen. You know, but I think his meh to me at the end of that email just sums up this game. It just felt okay. There, it wasn't like there were bad things in it at all. There were just nothing. There was just nothing that was excellent, and I wanted some shiny excellence. And so, yeah, I get his opinion for sure.
I don't, but continue.
Nolan just really loves his Sonic.
But if you re-listen through this episode, Nolan had some qualms with the game as well. It's just,
I know, but I knew the whole time that.
But I think Sonic glosses over. I think just being Sonic glosses over some of those things for you.
No, I thought there were a few really unique things that they introduced, and while it didn't perform the way that I wanted it to, like comparing it to Sonic 1, it's still its own thing. And
here's what I'll say. I would say that if Sonic Chaos was never created, no one would know the difference.
That's fair.
It didn't
to say.
Add
I'm not,
anything.
I'm not like a Sonic Chaos like super fan. I'm a Sonic super fan, but like, I don't know. I think we were a little too harsh, but that's just me.
Michael, thank you for your email. And feel free, if you're listening to this podcast, to send us in your thoughts about the Retro Game of the Week each and every week. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of the episode next week. Before we randomly select our next game, which we always do at the end of our episode, I want to make a quick announcement. Our 100th episode is quickly approaching.
Like, really quickly. Like, it's pretty much right here.
Right around the corner. This is episode number 98. And so we are two away from episode 100, and we want to do some special things to celebrate. We've got a slew of different things that we're going to be introducing over the coming weeks and announcing. And one of those in particular is a giveaway.
So for this giveaway, it's going to be we're pretty excited about it because we think it's a little unique. So a Raspberry Pi is a mini computer, and it's been gained traction already. It's in popularity. It's a cheap computer that you can basically use however you want. Some people use it as a server. Some people use it to teach computers, but we're going to use it for a different reason, and we're going to put a RetroPie on it, which is this software that allows you to have all types of consoles on it and games. So with the help of our producers, we came up with this idea to put all of the New Game Plus approved games that we've played and given our approval to onto this Raspberry Pi. So you will have all of the games that we deem worthy to be played again, right? Like, it could literally fit in your pocket. And it's going to have a little New Game Plus theme and flair to it. So yeah, we're super excited about introducing that one to you guys.
And it's a simple plug and play, right?
Yeah, you plug this thing into your TV and it works, and you'll get a lot of the really good games that we've played. It obviously won't play everything. We won't have some PC titles and some of the really old, you know, arcade games and things that are a lot harder to emulate and to make accessible easily. But all of the sort of big name classic early console games will be loaded up on this thing. We'll brand it New Game Plus style for you and ship it out to you. All you'll have to do is take this thing, plug in a controller, plug it into a monitor, and you'll be able to play some really great classic games. So we're hyped for this giveaway and really want to give you guys a chance to have one other way to play some of these old wonderful classics and to get nostalgic about the things we've already played and take a little bit of a look back.
And there are two ways in which you can enter this giveaway. The first and the primary way is just to find us on YouTube and subscribe. It's as simple as that. If you go on our social media, go on our website, ngppodcast.com, you'll be able to find a link to our YouTube. You can click there and subscribe. Make sure that you also click on that bell icon so that you can be notified anytime that we upload, which we do weekly. We upload our our episodes in video format where you can see our faces and you can hear some additional content, because that one is lightly edited as opposed to our fully edited audio podcast, as well as some first plays and some other video content that we're going to have up there regularly. A second way to put in just a second entry into this contest is if you, over these next 2 weeks leading up to our 100th episode, would interact with us on social media, that's Facebook or Twitter, and just make sure you tag us so that we could include you. And you would only get one for this. So if you shout out to us 3 or 4 times, thank you. We appreciate that. But we can only include one of those as an additional entry. Then we will put your name twice into this drawing that we will do live on our 100th episode for this Raspberry Pi. But for now, Kenny,
it's that time
to randomly select our next retro game of the week. And it is...
That's a really good sigh, or a really intimidating sigh. I don't know. I think it was a good one. I think we pulled something classic from that sigh. Did I read you right, Dustin?
Kenny, we're moving to the Sony PlayStation. Wait, a system that's been on your mind for at least a few hours now.
You mean the Sega PlayStation?
The Sony Master System. We are going to the Sony PlayStation, a game that was developed by Neversoft, published by Activision in the year 2000. It is a skateboarding video game, and might I add, the premier skateboarding video game, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
We have never played anything quite like this. This is a really unique game and genre, and kind of like vehicular combat was popular for a little while and then went away. There was this fun era where these skateboarding games and games like that were kind of the thing, and you don't really have an equivalent anymore in my mind. And so that this is going to be a fun era to look back on.
You had that punk rock soundtrack. This game's so good. This is like the pinnacle. This is everyone's favorite, I think, out of the Tony Hawk series. It's so good.
Super good, and it should be easy to play. I know that it was released and re-released on computer and all sorts of systems, from the PlayStation to the Game Boy Advance, N64, Xbox, iOS even. So Jess, I know that you might want to pull this up on your phone. But yeah, make sure that you grab a copy, play with us this week. Send us your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com, and we'll include your thoughts as a part of next week's episode.
We have a Discord server. It's really fun, and we're in there talking all the time to our viewers, and we would like you to join us. You can find a link to our Discord server on Twitter, and we would love to welcome you to the community. We do have a very lively community that is discussing games of the week, that's discussing life, and whatever else you want to talk about, so come see us in there.
We also want to take just a minute before we go any further and thank those of you who support the show by lending us your ears, your time, your attention, and especially those of you who go above and beyond to become patrons. Your support means the world to us and helps us to continue to do neat things like have giveaways that celebrate how neat retro gaming is, and all of the other cool ways that we're going to be celebrating our 100th episode coming up. And so thank you to our patrons, especially to our producers, Zion, Bradley, Gimbarino. You guys are awesome.
And if you haven't yet, you have just a few more days to put in your votes for our 100th episode, where we are going to be revisiting 3 games from our past catalog. And we're going to be playing them again over the coming weeks. And then we'll talk about them briefly in our 100th episode to see if our minds have changed, if our feelings, opinions of the games have changed. So far, I know it looks like Earthworm Jim's up there, Jurassic Park. There's a few other games that are in the running. We've got well over 60 votes, so make sure you visit our Patreon this week to put in your votes if you have not yet. As well as visit us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can always listen directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And if you would like, leave us an informative review so that we could always better our podcast and what we do here so that it's more enjoyable for you. Join us next week as we play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And who's Sonic, who's Tails, and who is, I don't know,
Knuckles?
Big the Cat? Yeah, Knuckles.
Oh, okay.
Knuckles.
Okay.
False.
No, Knuckles.
False. Nolan is Knuckles, Dustin, you're Sonic, and I'm Tails. Good game, the end. That's it. No arguments.
Pretty good. Nolan, any qualms?
Yeah, but you can close the channel.
And this has been New Game Plus.